Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy summer solstice. Longest day of the year in the ways of you got as much sunlight as you're ever going to have on a 2025 day. So make sure that you enjoy all of that. It's also 2025, so we're a quarter century into this thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're a quarter century into this new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Y2K seems so far away. But with that being the case, this year we've had a lot of different publications put out all quarter century teams. Mm-hmm. We saw this in baseball. We were talking about that with the baseball quarter century team. We were talking about it with the specific Astros one. Shout out to Chandler Rome, who you eviscerated for his for his list. Although, to be fair, I'm pretty sure on his podcast, Clutch City Territory, they eviscerated him too. They took him
good
to
good for them.
Shout out to the fellas of the Clutch City Territory podcast. But with all that being said, there's all these quarter century lists, and Lopez decided, well, I want to get in on the fun.
You're darn right.
And also that means that, hey, Chandler, if you want to call in and eviscerate his list, please do.
I mean, it's perfect, but try.
This is a Texans all quarter century team. Who needs to be on it? 713-572-4610. The OG John Lopez has his pick.
Yeah, not only who needs to be on it, but I think there's some we can actually get some stuff out of this as it pertains to this Texans team.
Okay.
I think we can, and I'll get there in a second. But
look at you trying to teach me a lesson when I'm just trying to have fun.
ESPN came up with its all quarter century team.
It's not supposed to be educational, John.
For obvious reasons, it never is. So I would say 1.5 Texans made the ESPN list.
What you mean 1.5 Texans?
J.J. Watt.
That is a full Texan.
Shane Leckler?
He a Texan. I don't care what you say. I know he played for the Raiders longer. That's a Texan. I don't care.
That's why I said half, because I'll give him credit because I love the guy, and he had a hell of a 5-year, I think it was 5 years here.
Yeah, that's enough. You can argue with your auntie. That's a Texan.
But didn't he have 12 years or 13 years elsewhere?
Yeah. That got to do with me.
Yeah.
Was he bad in his years in Houston? Because it'd be one thing.
That's why I'm giving him the half.
Yeah. No, that's not even half. Yeah. He's a Texan. That's
What is he going in the Hall of Fame as?
Probably a Raider. Yeah.
You got him going to the Hall of Fame, huh?
I think he will. Yeah, I think he will. But that's not we're not talking about that right now.
You got him as a what's is it Guy?
Ray Guy? Yeah.
I was like, you got him as Ray Guy now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You say so. With all love to Shane Leckler, this is not about you,
Shane.
You
ain't showing no love.
It's about punters.
No, Ray Guy is a Hall of Famer.
Punters don't get love is the point that I, especially when it comes to the Hall of Fame. So I'm like, we don't got to lie to kick it is ultimately my point here.
By the way, that was correct. 13 years a Raider, 5 years a Texan.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough.
Okay, but I know these are not enough because two others that wore Texans uniform made the ESPN list.
So here you go with that one again.
Ed Reed.
Yeah, there it is.
And Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, nobody's going to consider Vince Wilfork a Texan, even though I thought he was solid. Dude.
He was solid. So 1.5 Texans made the ESPN list. It got me thinking about, okay, even though it's not a full 25 years because their first season was 02, who would make the Texans all quarter century team? I'm going to go by position. As I like to say sometimes, stop me when you got something that is burning a hole in your pocket and you want to say it. Let's just get this out of the way. Quarterback, Texans, all quarter century team, Deshaun Watson.
Hold on a minute, player.
Yeah, I'm going to need
you to. Hold on a minute, player.
I mean, it hurts me as much as it hurts you. Incredible 3-year run.
So you think his 3-year run is better than whatever Schaub had?
Schaub would be probably number 2.
I'm not sure of that there, partner.
Look it up.
I mean,
it hurts me.
Check
the tape. It hurts me. Deshaun Watson threw for 4,800 yards 1 year, 4,000 yards another year, carried this team that was inferior, you know, around him in terms of overall talent. Matt Schaub, and we'll get to some Matt Schaub teammates here in a minute, is one of my favorite all-time Texans, and threw for, I think, 4,400 yards 1 year, 46 maybe another year. Matt Schaub would be the other.
Matt Schaub had a 4,700. 4,770, in fact.
Yeah, I thought it was 46.
Which was 09.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Schaub would be number two and the other contender here, but I got to kind of say it.
Matt Schaub was here 7 years, dog.
Four good ones.
Okay.
And Deshaun Watson had three spectacular ones. I hate to say it. It hurts me.
Do I have to do the thing? There's a big old demerit here.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. But we're talking about on the field, all quarter century team. Sorry.
I can't do it.
I don't want to do it.
I think it's fair, though.
I don't want to do it. But, okay, so let's move on. And you stopped me, which is what I wanted you to do when you had something to say.
Let me see if I can get you. A 33 touchdown season versus the 29 touchdown season for Schaub. I mean, look, you talk about extraordinary season. Schaub was awesome. Schaub was doing it, dog.
He collapsed. We all know that.
Injuries robbed some from him as well.
Yeah, I always defended Matt Schaub after he left here. Not always when he was here, but always after he left here. Sorry, it's Deshaun Watson. Anyway, let's move on. Running back is very telling. Arian Foster, given.
Yeah.
And Dominic Williams.
Wait, you're doing two running backs?
Yeah, I'm doing two running backs.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Joe Mixon, you're right there.
No, Lamar Miller?
Lamar Miller had like 1.5 good seasons. Dominic Williams had 3,000 yard seasons, I think, or maybe it was 2 and a .980 or something like that.
So effectively, 3,000 yard seasons.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
I mean, that the history has not been robust with an individual running back with this team. There's been a lot of rotating with the likes of, like, you know, the Blues and the, you know, various different rotating casts of guys at running back through this thing. But yeah, man. I saw a video talking about the quarterback portion of this, but I had not considered how you have not had, like, the giant stature of running backs outside of Arian. Arian looms large over all of this.
And that was an undrafted guy.
Yeah. Arian is masking a lot of their shortcuts. They stink at running back.
I had not. Well,
Joe Mixon is trending in the right direction, but that's one season. And, oh, by the way, I just looked it up. Dominic Williams, 1,031 yards, 1,188 yards. And 976 yards in 11 games, 23 touchdowns. That's not outstanding, but that'll get you on the all-quarter century team of the Houston Texans.
We might have to come back around to this because we're only how many in? We're going to get the offense here and then have
maybe
to come
we'll
back to the defense.
Maybe we'll do offense and defense.
All right.
But it stinks. They stink at running back outside of Arian Foster and Joe Mixon, but again, just one season for him. Wide receiver. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this. I think it's a given. Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Nico Collins.
Feel great. Feel good. Feel great.
We good, good, good. Yep. All right. Tight end. Say it together.
Owen Daniels.
And I'm getting somewhere.
Which also, as much as we love Owen Daniels.
Says something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tackles. I got Dwayne Brown and Laremy Tunsil.
I don't know that I have very much. Mm-hmm. I don't know I have much to say outside of that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Guards, Mike Brizell and Wade Smith. Don't forget, Wade Smith was either a two- or three-time, he'll text in to correct me, a two- or three-time Shout Pro Bowler. Yeah. Mike Brizell was a stud. Center, Chris Myers.
Correct.
Defensive end. That's the offense.
Okay, that's the offense.
That's the offense.
It's funny how the O-line was the easy part right there.
Right. Defensive tackle, DJ Reader, and I'm not pandering here. When you go back and think about it, either Sean Cody or Seth Payne. That's it. There's another spot where you can kind of go, they've never had a stud. DJ Reader was really good.
Are you considering JJ an outside player?
Yes, yes. Defensive ends.
Well, there's an abundance here.
Yeah, but I went with JJ Watt and Mario Williams. Breath of work for Mario. I get Danielle Hunter. I get, you know, obviously Will Anderson. Hell, who was the guy that ended up going to Philadelphia? Connor Barwin was really good.
No, Clowney.
Clowney was good against the run, but right. I'm going to go with J.J. Watt and Mario Williams.
281 pops up here with Chester Pitts on the offensive line. You took him into consideration?
I took him under consideration. A little bit of an underachiever. Made one Pro Bowl. Chester will tell you that. by the way.
You sure?
Well, maybe he won't. He wears his own jersey. So let's.
Why'd you have to do that? Why was that necessary?
Linebacker, Brian Cushing, D'Amico Ryans, and Whitney Mercilus. Probably not a lot of argument there, right?
No, I can't. I think I'm good there.
Yeah.
I honestly think I'm okay there.
Safety, Daniel Manning and Glover Quinn. I mean, we might be trending in some directions here with this team, but I think it's still Daniel Manning and
I don't think you can get yourself to there with the young cats here just yet.
But did Glover Quinn, did he take off more once he went to Detroit?
Yes, but he was really good here. I don't know his numbers off the top of my head, but he was good. It was kind of a controversy, small controversy when they did move on.
No honey badger.
Yeah, that was I was about to bring up Tyrann Mathieu, but it wasn't long. That's what
he had 1 year. He would be like one of those guys also mentioned. Cornerback, I got three cornerbacks: Derek Stingley, Jonathan Joseph, and Aaron Glenn.
JJ Joseph.
I said JJ.
JJ Joseph, baby.
Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Glenn. So here's where I think we can maybe take what's that?
We miss Eric Winston.
I thought of Eric Winston. I think I'd still take Laremy Tunsil because Dwayne Brown's a given.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, just because of pass protection alone, I'd still take Laremy Tunsil. But here's where I think we can maybe learn something about this Texans team.
This particular 2025 team.
You notice anything about the all quarter century team in the trenches?
Pretty strong.
Very strong.
Pretty damn strong.
None from the last 3 or 4 years. This is all circa 2012 Texans when Matt Schaub was really good.
Golden era.
When Arian Foster was really good.
Yeah, that's why he's the quarter century team quarterback. Yes, we know.
Well, no, maybe they helped him. But here's the thing. Four out of the five offensive linemen were all on the same team. Four out of five were all on the 2011-2012 team. Two out of the three defensive tackles were on the same team. Not on the same team, but kind of same era. When you go from Sean Cody to DJ Reader and Seth Payne to Sean Cody, like the interior offensive and defensive line and the offensive line in total, they're short. They haven't figured it out. They haven't figured out offensive line or interior defensive line in this era of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and I mean, as is the cliche, right? The game is won in the trenches. That's why we've harped so much on the offensive line and making sure to get that right. But also, I think some of that is inherent to the style of play that they were playing at that time and the style of play that the game that in general was. It was more of a run-heavy game. And it feels funny to say that about it at that time as if it was like the 60s. Mm-hmm. But no, it was more of a run-heavy game than where we are now. But you still need to find a way to find your offensive line level in particular. Because defensive line, it feels like they figured out some things on how to maneuver this.
And edges.
Especially at the edges, particularly at the edges.
But defensive tackle, I mean, you know, Seth Payne was great. And don't get me wrong, you know, in context here.
You're saying you didn't give Gary Walker no love.
Sean Cody, Gary Walker was very good. DJ Reader also got better after he left, but was good here. Guys, they can't figure out the trenches, man. They can't figure out the trenches. That's what they got to do.
I mean, that feels like they've done something towards that end. Mm-hmm. That at least they've attempted to. That's why that's the biggest thing to watch. But man, that is an interesting all-century list. It kind of points to, and we know this, right? The Texans have not necessarily flourished as an organization just yet, but they're coming into that time period. It feels like they're finding a level of development. If they want to get to that space where they really get to shine, it does feel like, offensive line.
It's funny. My whole takeaway from that list was CJ got to be a beast for the next 4 years. So we can
even two.
So he can take
even two.
So he can take the throne for the best quarterback in history.
Some people are trying to argue that CJ Stroud should be in the contention to be like in that space right now.
Well, he is.
Well, I mean, like as of right now, literally before you even start season three, you're putting him in there.
I think he's in contention.
He got to be third maybe already?
Probably already, right?
Oh, yeah, third, certainly.
Yeah.
Third best quarterback in franchise history.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who you throwing up? T.J. Yates? Is that where you're going? You want Brian Hoyer really moving you? Little Ryan Fitzpatrick is what you're putting up there? Is that what's happening here?
And oh, by the way, running back and tight end, we got to do better, man. We got to do better.
Well, running back, it does feel like you got a nice tandem, as it feels like you've had at times during this. Just like, have you had that guy outside of Arian? Probably not. Tight end is one, though, where, yes, they need to find a little bit better, especially because, like, hey, also out of the draft would be very nice to find them. Mm-hmm. Why are we just not – just draft Iowa tight ends consistently. Just whoever – who's the Iowa tight end this year, we want you.
Yeah.
See if that doesn't work. There you go. That is the all OG's all-century team for the Houston Texans and what we take away from that particular list. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's the time where we do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. Let's get to confessing next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, so my first confession, it just happened in the break. I didn't mention special teamers, so let's mention the guys that we landed on in terms of special teams. John Weeks, center, Shane Leckler, punter, those are givens.
Yes. Kymie Fairbairn's the kicker.
It's got to be Kymie, I think.
Because, I mean, we were looking through some of them, like Chris Brown, Nick Novak, and then
Randy Bullock. Yeah.
And it's just like.
And Bullock had a good run.
He did. Mm-hmm. I think also it's kind of crazy when you actually are looking at it. And because I was looking at the entirety of all the years of the franchise, kicking in general has just gotten so much better. Yeah. It used to be like you kicked in the 70s to the low 80s and like you were a damn good kicker. Now, if you're not making 90% of your joints, we're coming to talk to you.
Yeah. And then returner was a little difficult, but we landed on Jacoby Jones.
I mean, also. He just did it a lot for you as well.
Yeah.
There was a couple guys that maybe had some more touchdowns here or there. Mm-hmm. But nice. Jacoby Jones, even though, and of course, rest in peace. But I'm not going to lie. I will never get over the fact that Jacoby Jones left here and then became a cult legend in Baltimore. I was like, no, you can't have him. No, that's not how this works.
Hey, he earned it.
He did.
But here's my real confession. I picked food over friendship this morning.
I mean, who amongst us doesn't?
So you agree then?
I have no idea. I was just saying things.
I picked food over friendship.
So this morning, huh?
Yeah, this morning. So I'm sitting in my kitchen, and I didn't meal prep as I like to do for my lunch. Now, I usually make sandwiches at lunch because it doesn't smell up the room. And I'm trying to be, have enough courtesy. Because nobody likes, especially like Chinese food. But it, really, when you warm up food... If you're not eating it too, it's kind of rude. But I saw some enchiladas.
Oh, is that what you got enchiladas for lunch?
I saw some enchiladas left over from took our granddaughter to
a restaurant, I'm assuming.
Mexican restaurant that I really like that I can't remember right now. And I brought some enchiladas home. And so my wife was saying, you want to take the enchiladas? I said, nah, I'll just make a quick sandwich. And then I went, screw those guys.
You say those guys.
Those guys is Reggie.
Lupe Tortilla, by the way. A listener came up to us and said hello, by the way. But it was Lupe Tortilla. I said, screw those guys. I'm going to warm up them enchiladas.
Well, don't feel too bad.
Smell up the studio.
Don't feel too bad. Like, have you already?
I've already started.
I'm good. It has not bothered me one bit. I'm pretty.
Are you the complainer about that type of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Nah.
He really hasn't. On occasion, I have warmed up some food rather than a sandwich.
Yeah. Like, to me, stuff like that don't bother me unless it's like the obvious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something that stinks. Yeah. Look, something that really stinks. Yeah.
My thought on
and honestly, with fish and sea, like, I'm a fan of seafood. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't really bother me that to the point I had to leave the room and that type of stuff. But
My thought about it is like, hey, man, food smells like food. And so if you're going to eat, that's fine. Just don't do nothing ridiculous, is really the like, obviously, there's certain things that are extraordinarily pungent. Be respectful. But, I mean, if you're going to eat, it's going to smell like you're eating. So I try not to be too much.
You won't believe it. Some people be weird about that type of stuff, man.
And I've learned to be a little bit better about it.
Do you not eat?
I picked this up from, like, and if this is not quite the same thing, but I think you'll get what I mean. My youngest brother is real, like, sensitive to taste. So there'll be things that's like, nah, that tastes kind of funny. I'm like, this is perfectly fine. What you mean? Or like, this is spicy. And it's like, nah, it's really not, man. But it's like, oh, okay, well, you just kind of got to let people rock. And so for some people, you know, that olfactory sense, they're like, nah, man, that smells crazy. And it's like, maybe you just got a really keen sense of smell. I don't know.
I appreciate that because I was like, screw those guys. I'm going to warm up my enchiladas.
Nah, sometimes I'll be like, damn, that smell good. What you got? Like, if anything, I would be like, let me get some of that.
Yeah.
You're right.
But no, some people be irritated. Yeah, I'd be like, what you irritated for some food for? Do you go to the restaurant and be irritated?
Yeah, but if you're not eating, see, that's the difference.
Yeah, that's fair. That's when you're not eating. So I was not here yesterday. Shout out to Luke Morrow for filling in. And I did end up at a brunch spot. And, you know, when you're at a brunch spot, me personally, if I'm at a place, I want to get the food that the place is there for, right?
Like,
I used to make fun of a friend of mine for getting a burger at a steakhouse or what have you. And so at this brunch spot, I got me some French toast.
Of course.
And damn it, if it wasn't the best French toast that I've had in a very long
time.
Give
a shout out.
I don't even remember where it was.
Oh, okay.
But the point, the larger point was, it made me realize we are in a crisis of French toast. You realize that? Like, there's so few places that actually make a really good French toast. Because I feel like it becomes, it's like a secondary thought. It's like, we got pancakes, and I guess we also got French toast. Or like, we got waffles, and I guess we kind of got French toast.
Yeah.
Very few places actually make really good French toast in and of itself.
I actually had a very similar experience yesterday. We ate and wanted to go get some dessert. We went to an ice cream place, and they had floats. You don't see floats anymore. So I got a root beer float. I'm like, you don't see floats anymore.
You know what's funny? I don't think about no other float besides the root beer float.
Yeah, there's the strawberry can be good with vanilla, but like root beer is the go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like,
how many places have you seen? It said floats. I was like, well, hell yeah.
It got to be like,
man, went back in time. It got back to the soda fountain.
Yeah, the 50 cent sodas.
The pharmacy used to have floats. Remember that? You don't. I do.
You probably see them in like A&W.
You getting floats at CVS? I don't understand.
No, the old corner pharmacies always used to have ice cream.
He said pharmacy. He went to Walgreens and didn't have a drink.
No,
that's crazy.
You can't find a float at Walgreens. But I was like,
how much you pay for a nickel?
It ties with exactly what, like, we need ice cream places that have floats. We need better French toast places.
We do. Yeah. Because, look, man, French toast, I understand it's not anybody. Like, when you talk about breakfast breads, like, everybody's like, I'm a pancake person.
It's either pancake or waffle.
Not a lot of people are French toast people. Yeah. And I think I'm a French toast person.
Yes.
And I was like, man.
A little cinnamon on there?
You got it. And here's the thing about the French toast. Very few places put enough butter.
Yeah.
They put a very small. No, go ahead.
Butter is the key, man.
Eat a lot with anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
With anything. Put a whole bunch of butter on there and make it taste good.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, I got a salute to all the landscape people out there that's out here busting their butt, probably right about now, just cutting grass and keeping the grass straight and all that stuff. I wasn't familiar with your work until yesterday because I was out there trimming the grass. I let my grass get way too high.
On your holiday, huh?
Yeah, on a holiday.
Well, you called it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I was over there way in the
water. All right.
Way in the water. I was over here singing. And then salute to my wife, too. She came out, see me working, and she brought me my water cup. And I said, yes, sir, master.
Oh, God.
I need some water.
How did she respond to that?
With a ladle and a bucket?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
A ladle and a bucket. Here.
Goodness gracious.
Drink this.
I was sweating.
That's unbelievable.
Nah, but hey, salute to the landscapers out there, man.
All day long.
Dude, man. And I ain't even finished. Because my battery died.
Oh, okay.
I only got one battery. Yeah. She got me a battery operated one.
That's good. Yeah.
And so I need to get another battery so I could keep them in rotation, but I gotta do the front yard. But
yeah, you really need another battery.
Yeah,
just as a side note, that's a game changer,
dude. I was sitting there out there, just sitting there, man. It is tough, man. Salute to y'all, man.
It's all day.
Whatever y'all make, y'all don't make enough, especially in this heat.
Whatever Figgy said times two with me. That and they go 6 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Yes.
I mean, it's all day.
Which, again, going back to our question of the day, they know it's going to be a long day when it's the summer solstice and they about to be out
and
here.
And grass is growing.
In all this heat, yeah. Making money, however.
Man, that grass growing every 3 days.
Yeah, I said seven. It might be later in some cases now.
Yeah, man.
In the summertime.
Man, that was tough, man. To the point, I'm like, man, maybe we should take this weed whacker back and just hire somebody to cut the grass, man.
Nah, man.
That is tough.
That'll absolutely make you make that decision.
I will say it's therapeutic, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was kind of cool just cutting the grass. Just I'm
you get
out
a lot
there
of pride out of it.
Yeah, I'm out there in the zone pretty much. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool doing it. But
look at you turning into Hank Hill right before.
I know, man.
Propane and propane accessories. All right, so I nearly got hacked. That was one of my confessions.
I remember a few weeks ago. I nearly got hacked.
I think I might nearly or get hacked again, but it's not my fault. Okay,
that's what they all say.
It's not my fault.
Just over there on them X-rated videos and stuff.
You're kind of in the right place.
Of course
there.
I am.
So a couple of friends of mine, it's not my fault, my
friends.
I'm
watching
fault.
Them stuck under the bed videos.
A couple of friends of mine sent me, and you know who you are. You're on the Bite Me podcast, Caleb McCumber and Dean Thomas.
Wow.
Man.
Caleb sent a video. He said, watch this. So I clicked on it. It was heinous. It was heinous.
What did it do?
It was a woman drinking cow's milk straight from the udder.
Oh, what?
Oh, you asked.
You said these are your friends, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so you can imagine what the woman looked like and what the scene looked like.
I don't want to. I don't want any more. In fact, I didn't even ask the question. I wish I didn't get the answer, personally.
And then Dean sent another one of a woman drinking milk straight from a cow's udder.
Okay.
So now, when I open my phone, what do you think pops up? That a lot.
I was like, hopefully a screensaver.
So if I get hacked again, it's their fault, not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's still your fault. I feel like you know your friends.
They said,
well,
watch this, and he's a friend. So what are you gonna do?
No, know that your friend also shenanigans. That's what.
So that's all you see on your social media now?
A lot of women drinking milk straight from the udder.
Every time you say that, it makes me more and more uncomfortable. I don't fully understand. Okay. This was a very particular edition of Lunchtime.
It was an edition.
It was one of the editions of all time. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Friday. Coming up next, TJ McConnell had an incredible game six in the NBA Finals. And it seems like he could maybe make a case, I don't know how strong of one, to be an MVP of the Finals. For the Pacers if they manage to win. Who are some of those MVPs in sports history? The guys that, you know, are not actually going to take it, but maybe had a supporting role that was so strong that maybe doesn't get enough love. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about those next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a funky Friday. Hope your Friday is going well wherever you are, however you're listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. It's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula Figgy Fig. Who's a real MVP for you of various different teams or circumstances? Because TJ McConnell is seeming to get a little love in this regard. He had a fantastic game last night. You know what's funny? I just thought about this. I watched that game and I really didn't look at the box score. I couldn't tell you how much what his actual points were.
Was it 17?
I'm about to find out.
A lot of rebounds and assists.
Like he was.
Couple steals.
He was incredible. Like definitely, yeah, a couple of steals.
Yeah.
Some really good work. Penetrating into the paint, and he actually had TJ McConnell, 12 points in 24 minutes, 6 of 12 shooting, six assists, 4 steals.
Jeez.
I mean, like, that is a lot for a dude who, you know, is not honestly consistently in the rotation for the Pacers,
mm-hmm.
especially, like, in the playoff rotation and having a big impact.
But
getting more minutes. In fact, someone on the text line thinks that if Carlisle had played him even more, that maybe they would already be done with this series in the favor of the Pacers. I don't know how much I agree with that per se, but he has been very instrumental in helping them win because this is a team that very much lives off of the pace and being able to do mm-hmm. these things where they, you know, they bend the Oklahoma City Thunder defense. And it's been necessary, I talked about this earlier,
mm-hmm.
to have somebody that's still able to probe into that defense when you have an opportunity. And Tyrese Halliburton's calf injury has limited him somewhat. TJ has taken up even more of that mantle, and I thought that was very instrumental in getting a win yesterday. And to that end, he's kind of like the quiet MVP. Is that a way that we could call it?
Right? Well, but gaining a lot more noise. And I'm not just, you know, trying to do that for effect. Like, there is a real conversation happening that he could be an MVP. There are odds.
But not a truly serious one in as far as, like, to actually do.
There are odds now on TJ McConnell
to actually win it.
Yes.
If you want to throw your money away, give it to me.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Like, I'll do something with it. Mm-hmm. I got some J's to buy or something.
And it's not like others. No, it's him standalone.
Which good for him. Like, yeah. To be honest, good for him, though. I don't want to take that away from him. This
that would be great for him.
Yeah. 100%. Like, that would be like the Matthew Dellavedova year. Was that 16 specifically?
15? Yeah.
No, it was 2016 where the Cavs actually did beat the Warriors. Matthew Dellavedova did the thing that I was hoping that the Rockets did do with Steph Curry, is just lean on him, put his body on him, be like, do something in particular very well that nobody on your team is capable of doing to that extent, and give your team an opportunity to win. And that's what Deli did in that instance. He became a legend there for that. TJ McConnell, he's been in the league for a little bit, but this is the type of guy he is. He's scrappy. He's, you know, gritty. He's all of the cliches that you want to throw out there. He exists as those things, and that's exactly what they needed in this circumstance in Game 6. And so I think that it's interesting to then look at who are those prototypes of guys and players for other teams that maybe don't get enough love that maybe we could shout out, especially if you have history.
You know, I went back in the old memory bank. And as far as TJ McConnell, I'm with you guys. I wouldn't vote for him. I don't think he's going to win it.
If the Pacers did win, who would you vote for? Are you going the easy way?
Would it be Siakam?
Siakam has a good shout.
Yeah. He's saying like he's been the one that been more consistent.
Mm-hmm. But McConnell, like, again, like it's Vegas. Vegas is making him a candidate here. Now his odds are longer, but it goes in this order. SGA. Siakam, Jalen Williams, Tyrese Halliburton, TJ McConnell.
Really? So he's above like Nembhard.
He's above Nembhard. He's above Toppin, Nesmith. It's those four guys and McConnell. And so it's a real conversation, and I wouldn't do it, but it did get me thinking. You know,
sure.
You know how I do things around here. You know, the old, you know, who the real MVP? Because you can, as much as we all agree we wouldn't vote for him, you can argue at least last night he was the MVP of that game, because the second quarter when he was on the floor, that I was going like, I'm literally saying out loud, wow. I mean, this guy was doing some wow.
Or if they win it all, you can say they probably won the finals without him.
And it goes to that discussion of how do you define MVP? And you and I have argued about this before. You know, like, is he the best player? Or is he? I put more value on the word valuable. Like, is he the most
valuable player?
You can talk about the value of McConnell and put him up there with any of those guys.
And that's why nobody actually uses gritty. Sorry, respond to something else at the same time. Nobody actually uses the value proposition, because that's not what we're actually trying to get to.
No, I do.
With most of these awards nowadays.
I use it.
It's one of the reasons why it would be very nice if we changed the language on a lot of the awards that we're giving alongside of like what the NCAA does for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Most outstanding player. Because that's oftentimes a lot closer to what we're trying to get to, as opposed to valuable. Even though that is the word that we use in football and basketball and what have you, even though that's not quite what we're trying to do.
No, I disagree. I think a lot of people use it, but it's oftentimes the best player too, you know, and I think in this case it will be as well. But I put some stock in value, but not like to that degree. But it did get me thinking about who's the real MVP.
And no, I did not say gritty and scrappy just because he's white. When I'm doing that, you will know, because I do that sometimes. But he actually is, like, that's the thing. That's why I said he is a sentient, racial stereotype. But that's because he actually is all of he is those things. But who along those lines comes to mind for you? Because I mentioned Matthew Dellavedova was one of those for me. Someone on the text line said Jacoby Jones should have been MVP of that Super Bowl for Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is one of those ones
that's
that people
look at.
That's
a very good one. I keep going back to Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton.
Still in the league. Had that moment this week. That actually might have been yesterday, in fact. Because he was out here pitching pretty damn well. Mm-hmm. I had good control of his stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, hold on. Charlie Morton's still out here doing
2017
this?
World Series. Do they win without Charlie Morton? Was it 4 innings of relief in Game 7?
No.
They don't win.
No.
They don't win without Charlie Morton.
Absolutely.
So that's the one that I go to. And then I go back into my personal, you know, fandom, so to speak. And you know how highly I think of Johnny Manziel as a player. He had four first-round picks on the offensive line.
Correct.
Four. Not four draft picks. Four first-round picks.
Yes.
Jake Matthews.
Jokel was in there, right?
Jokel, yeah. Jermaine Ifedi.
My Nigerian brother. And
Cedric Obeyi as well.
Also my Nigerian brother.
Four first-round draft picks on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Are you kidding?
That's usually going to help you out, which is funny, though, because it does highlight when you mention that.
Yeah.
Just how much that running around was his decision. like they was blocking for you, dog. You just decided to run around like that.
Oh, even the big play that won him the Heisman against Alabama, he had a clean pocket. And he just kind of fumbled the ball and said, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, we just running around to do it. We just running around to do it, baby. We running around because it confuses the defense. Yeah. How about the second? Hey, how about you guard for about 5 or 6 seconds? See if Mike Evans don't get open that way.
Yeah.
Some other ones that have come in on the text from the 832, Andre Iguodala. Yeah, although he got an MVP. He got a finals MVP himself. I think he's one of the ones that people actually do give a level of credit to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one was a little tricky, too, because that was the year everybody was saying LeBron should have had it, even though he lost. Mm-hmm. It was just like, nah, that's not how it works.
Yeah, because they gave Andre Iguodala the MVP because he, quote-unquote, slowed down LeBron James.
And mind you, you had Steph Curry on the team. You had Klay Thompson on the team.
That's right.
You had a bunch of people on that team, too, and he got it.
In that same way, what was it? Was it 14 that Kawhi Leonard got MVP, finals MVP on the same basis of, hey, you slowed down LeBron James. Like, all right, so if we're doing that, then you're basically saying the MVP is over there, right?
Yeah.
Like, just off of that particular logic.
Yeah.
Are there any of those, like, for Houston sports in, because you mentioned the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any ones for the Rockets or the Texans that you think back to or, like, guys that probably were, the you know, kind of carried in a way that, you know, was not get, I guess, that larger
To go back, and I'm going back again here, but I'd have to go back and look at the numbers because this was not an NBA Finals. It was a conference championship. But Mario? Ellie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Rockets have a lot of those types of guys where you talk about, like, I mean, Mario Ellie, obviously, Big Shot Bob gets his love for his
biggest shots were not here necessarily. He had some big ones.
He
here.
Did.
Yeah,
he did.
But, you know, you think more against the Sacramento, you know, Lakers. And,
right.
You
no,
know,
Lakers, of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
and to that end, if we're talking about the Lakers, Derek Fisher, even though he annoys me at times.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to appreciate that. But yeah, you talk about
Derek Fisher's a good one.
Derek Fisher's a great one.
He had some huge shots in those runs.
100%.
Like enormous shots in those runs.
This is probably too high of this kind of magnitude. He's probably too good of this. Pau Gasol is one of those guys that I don't know that people respect him for how good he actually is.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't. I saw somebody post the pictures of that finals team and said, Kobe won with this.
Sick.
I'm like, this? That's Pau Gasol. What you mean this?
There were moments where Pau Gasol was the best player on that team, and I said what I said.
Yeah.
Rondo comes in, agreed. 05 for Manu Ginobili. 3-4-6 posits these as your Texans situation. So tell me if you agree or don't. Owen Daniels and Kevin Walter.
So he's talking about their first big run in the postseason. Kevin Walter really was not. He had one catch. It was a big catch. It was a catch that put you in the playoffs for the first time ever. And I don't mean literally, but I'm saying, like, he wasn't like Charlie Morton, you know, with the Astros or something. On those teams. Boy, who would be the kind of the hidden MVP there on those squads?
And I mean, how easy is it because those teams felt very much cohesive?
Mm-hmm. Well, units. We just went through like offensive line, defensive line. Everybody was good.
Like those ones felt like, hey, this is a unit that's doing it as opposed to like an individual that's doing it to you. Like that's kind of the way that those teams were constructed to begin with. So maybe they weren't really situated to have those guys that you go, hey, that one particular guy isn't getting his love because it was kind of just everybody pulling in the same direction that got you to some of these places.
Who was the 22 kind of hidden MVP for the Astros? I said Charlie Morton for 2017. Obviously, Jeremy Pena won it.
Yeah.
But
clearly, it was Martin Maldonado, right?
No, like, you got to try again.
clearly, am I wrong? Who's with me?
You got to try again. Could have been, you know, who was? Was it Fromber?
No, it had to be. Was it Christian Javier?
Back then, yeah.
Was that the same year?
Yeah,
when he was pitching. I felt like that was the true ace at that point.
Yeah,
because he was. I want to say he was pitching those shutouts too against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the same year.
I want to say Fromber had a couple of big games.
He did have some big games too.
Yeah, I think Fromber might be in the conversation. But you know, obviously, he would fit in this category as we're talking about who's the real MVP, et cetera. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm trying to find Fromber here, but either way, those would be possibilities. And
I was thinking about this, but it felt wrong. Someone said from the 504, is it Ryan Presley in 22?
It's a good. That's actually a good one.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, man. And then someone threw up Chaz McCormick catch or
Chaz. Yeah.
Do you go Tucker, Kyle mm-hmm. Tucker in that particular? Mm-hmm. In that particular year.
By the way, Fromber in the 2022 World Series, 2-0 with a 1.46 ERA.
Is that good?
That's very good. Okay. 18 strikeouts. Yeah, he might have been the Hooter real MVP in that case.
And a good reminder that Christian Javier did throw a no-hitter in the World Series. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people leaning in votes for Chaz McCormick as well coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I think he had a really good postseason too, Christian Javier.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to say did he throw a no hitter or something?
Six innings of no hit. I think yeah, is what it was six or seven innings.
It was impressive mm-hmm. to the point. I think everybody was talking about that.
Yeah,
from the 8-2, the Astros have been too good if we can't distinguish between the runs.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting off for real.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Hey, man, keep it going. I would like to continue to be too good. Let's get another run in there with these Astros. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we had Jarrett Patterson, who was the center for this team finishing out the season last year. He jumped on Texans All Access, and he said something that made me wonder, is this confirmation of the O-line upturn that we're hoping to see this season? Let's talk about it, and I'll explain what I mean next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.